Nancy Pippen, Decatur Herald and Review, September 15th, 2016. Education. State Board of Education reworking expulsion rules. Springfield. The State Board of Education is in the early stages of crafting legislation that would prohibit school districts from dropping students from their enrollment rosters for failing to meet minimum academic and attendance standards. Under current state law, districts can deny enrollment for one semester to students 17 and older who in the previous semester failed to earn at least a D average or were absent more than 20% of the time without valid excuses. Because students are only required to attend school until they turn 17, the existing policy would increase the chances that at-risk students will drop out of state education, officials say. This will be an effort on our part to prevent students from being pushed out of the system, Amanda Elliott, the state board's co-legislative director, told board members Wednesday during the first day of a two-day meeting in Springfield. There's been a lot of conversation over the last couple of years and a lot of legislation that's been filed. And we think that this is an important component of that conversation. State Superintendent Tony Smith said the proposal is in line with other efforts the board has made in recent years. It resonates with conversations we've had at the board for the last year and a half about ways to connect and hold on to kids and not be pushing kids out, Smith said. So the fact that there are some areas in the law that make it possible seems in conflict with the position the board's taken. Officials said school districts should be encouraged to provide services to those students to help them stay in school and graduate. While the Illinois School Code gives districts the ability to deny enrollment based on attendance or academic performance, it's unclear how widely the practice is used. That's something board staff is researching. Sarah Hartwick, the state board's other co-legislative director, told board members that the proposal is in its infancy, and the board still needs to have discussions with school administrators, teachers, and others in the education community. A spokesman for the Illinois Association of School Administrators couldn't be reached Wednesday for comment. Elliott said the new proposal dovetails with the statewide school discipline overall that takes effect today. The new law, sponsored by State Senator Kimberly Lightford, Democrat of Maywood, is aimed at reducing the racial disparities in how suspensions and expulsions are meted out and cutting down on their overall use. Among other changes, the law prohibits schools from suspending a student for more than 3 days unless his or her presence is an ongoing threat and all other options have been exhausted. School boards are also required to provide detailed justifications for suspensions and expulsions. Lightford couldn't be reached Wednesday for comment. Constantly suspending and expelling the very kids that need to be in school is one of the most counterproductive practices of our education system, she said in a statement on her website. We need to keep young people in school learning how to succeed and off of the street corner learning how best to end up in prison. Alleged food burglar arrested after meth lab busted. Decatur. Police broke up an alleged methamphetamine lab housed in a Decatur apartment Sunday night and arrested 5 people, and they bagged a burglar the next day. Before they were finished cleaning up early Monday morning, police arrested another man they say had grabbed the opportunity to sneak out of the apartment and empty its fridge and freezer of food. He came out of the kitchen after 1 a.m., weighed down with bags of meat, eggs, and groceries valued at more than $100, and walked straight into the arms of awaiting police officers, police said. Police had first been alerted to the meth lab in the 1200 block of East Cantrell Street after a citizen tip about finding bags of garbage near the apartment stuffed with empty blister packs of cold medicine associated with drug production. The informant also told police there had been a significant amount of traffic through the apartment. Officers swooped on the address at 11:45 p.m. Sunday and arrested Heather L. Lee, who is on probation and has previous convictions for meth delivery and possession, according to sworn warrants. Lee was booked on a charge of aggravated meth manufacturing, along with Natasha J. Lee, 29, Matthew A. Ginger, 27, Nathaniel L. Brackett, 20, and Hannah M. Rice, 19. The alleged opportunistic thief is Martin J. Albertine Jr., 50, who was charged with one count of residential burglary. Police said they seized meth and meth-making materials in the apartment and found more meth-related trash and a bottle containing 78 milligrams of a liquid that tested positive for the drug in a car outside. The vehicle belongs to Nathaniel Brackett. The Decatur officers then called in a specialist chemical team from the Illinois State Police to clean up the apartment and car outside. It was as officers were returning to the apartment where the front door was left open that they say they met Albertine emerging from the kitchen. He told police he thought the occupants had moved out and had come in to see if any food was left behind. Police said Albertine has 4 previous theft arrests and 1 conviction. Illinois governor gives $100,000 to Indiana GOP candidate. Indianapolis. The Illinois governor has tossed in $100,000 of his own money to boost the campaign of Indiana's Republican gubernatorial candidate, even as the two states compete to lure jobs. The money Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner gave to Indiana Lieutenant Governor Eric Holcomb's campaign last week is a small fraction of the $16 million that the wealthy former venture capitalist is investing to help GOP candidates cut into large Democratic majorities in the Illinois legislature this fall. Rauner has said he wants to emulate the business-friendly agenda of former Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels, for whom Holcomb was a top state house aide and campaign manager. But Rauner said last year he wanted to rip the economic guts out of Indiana, and Indiana Governor Mike Pence has frequently touted the state's work to lure businesses from Illinois. Pence, who is now Donald Trump's vice presidential running mate, just last week released a statement calling a company's decision to move operations from Illinois and hire 200 workers in southern Indiana as an example of why Indiana is the best state in the Midwest for business. The donation, which the Holcomb campaign reported to state election officials on Monday, comes as Holcomb works to close a large fundraising shortfall with Democratic candidate John Gregg, since he was picked by Indiana GOP leaders to replace Pence as the party's gubernatorial nominee in late July. Holcomb's campaign Spokesman Pete Seat said Tuesday that Holcomb and Rauner have known each other for several years, and the campaign welcomes the support of any and everyone who believes in responsible Republican leadership. Seat downplayed the job poaching rivalry between Indiana and Illinois leaders. A little friendly competition only helps to encourage continued growth and investment that leads to more jobs, he said. Rauner has admired Holcomb's work since his time in the Daniels administration. Rauner spokesman Mike Shrump said, "He was instrumental in helping turn Indiana around, and Bruce believes Eric will be a tremendous governor," Shrump said. Shrump didn't immediately reply to a message asking whether Rauner is making other out-of-state campaign contributions this year. The Montana-based National Institute on Money in State Politics, which tracks political spending and advocates for transparency, listed a $100,000 contribution in the 22 Pennsylvania governor's race as Rauner's only donation of at least the size he gave Holcomb outside of Illinois. The Pence administration says more than 50 Illinois-based companies have moved operations to Indiana in the past decade. Greg campaign spokesman Jeff Harrison pointed to Indiana's stagnant average wages and Holcomb's support for the state religious objections law, which promoted an uproar last year over whether it would sanction discrimination against gay people. He's pledged to continue Mike Pence's economic policies, which have hurt so many Hoosier families, and embarrassed our state in the eyes of the world, Harris said. As our competition, Governor Rauner would love to see Indiana continue down this path. It will only make his record look better. Holcomb started from nearly zero in his campaign account ahead of the GOP State Committee's nomination vote, while Greg had about $5.8 million in campaign money at the end of June. Holcomb has since collected about $5.4 million in large contributions, donations of $10,000 or more, that the campaigns are required to report to state election officials ahead of the next full fundraising reports due in October. More than 80% of that money has been $2.3 million from the Republican Governors Association and about $1.25 million from Pence's state campaign fund. Rauner's contribution is the next largest one Holcomb has collected. Greg has reported $1.6 million in large contributions since early July, with $800,000 from the Democratic Governors Association and about $525,000 from labor unions, including six based outside Indiana. Alleged punching of mother-in-law's draws charges. Decatur. A Decatur man is accused of punching his mother-in-law in the head repeatedly early Monday while his wife clung to his back trying to stop the attack. Sworn police statements say the wife accuses her 32-year-old husband of ripping a chunk of her hair during the alleged assault, which the wife's 9-year-old daughter also tried to stop by pulling on the suspect's shirt. The suspect was arrested and booked into the Macon County Jail on two counts of domestic battery, allegations he denies. The sworn statements say suspect and his wife have been married about 10 months, share a house with the mother-in-law, and began arguing after the three of them arrived home at 9:30 p.m. During the dispute, the suspect is accused of chest bumping his mother-in-law hard enough to knock her off her feet onto the ground. She got back up and continued the argument, but grew fearful, police say, of the suspect becoming more violent. She felt threatened, as if she were going to receive another battery, so she slapped him across the face, the statements allege. The suspect is then accused of shoving her to the ground again, and while his mother-in-law was on her hands and knees, punching her at least 3 times in the head. His wife is said to have told police she did not actually see the punches being thrown because she was on his back trying to stop the assault because she could hear the punches. According to the statements, both mother and daughter were in tears when interviewed by patrol officers who saw bruising on the mother-in-law, but say they did not see the clump of hair the wife claims was ripped out of her head. The officers located the suspect later, and he denied getting physical with either party in any way. He said his mother-in-law had punched him in the face, and he had merely attempted restraining her from attacking him further. He told police his wife and 9-year-old girl made up the assault story because his mother-in-law influences them. The suspect is free on $3,000 bond, with the condition he has no contact with the mother-in-law or his wife and stays away from the family home. He is due in court October 14th. And now the obituaries. Alba Warren K. Decatur. Warren K. Keith Alba, 77, Decatur, owner and operator of the newsstand, died Saturday, September 10, 2016. Mass of Christian burial, 10:30 a.m. Thursday, Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church. Arrangements by Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Send condolences, www.morganandgoble.com. Ruby A. Bass, 85, Weldon. Ruby A. Bass, 85, of Weldon, Illinois, passed away 11 p.m. Tuesday, September 13th, in Farmer City. A service to celebrate Ruby's life will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, September 17, 2016, at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home, Mount Zion. Cynthia G. Carter. Cynthia G. Cindy Carter, 65, of Clinton, Illinois, passed away 12:35, September 14, 2016, at Decatur Memorial Hospital, Decatur, Illinois. No services are planned at this time. Visitation will be 4 to 6 p.m., Friday, September 16, 2016, at Culvert Funeral Home, Clinton, Illinois. Homer Lee Gordy, 73, passed away on Tuesday, September 12, 2016, in Decatur Memorial Hospital. The family will host a memorial service 11 a.m. Saturday, September 17th, in Sierra Gordo Brethren Church, 209 South Jefferson, Sierra Gordo, Illinois, 61818. Condolences may be sent to the family at 313 West Franklin, Sierra Gordo, Illinois, 61818. Kenneth E. Ken Jones, 56, of Shelbyville, Illinois, died 8:22 p.m., Monday, September 12, 2016, in Sullivan, Indiana. In keeping with Ken's wishes, no services will be held. Arrangements are by Howe and Yoki Funeral Home, Shelbyville, Illinois. Memorials may be given to Saving Orphaned Animals or to the family. Francis E. McClugig. Francis E. McClugig, 101, of Decatur, gracefully departed her life on Earth on Sunday, August 28, 2016, at 6:25 p.m. to be with her Lord and many past family members and friends, patiently awaiting to see her begin her new life above. As per her wishes, Frances' body will be donated to science. A celebration of life memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, September 17th, in the sanctuary at First United Methodist Church, 201 West North Street, Decatur, Illinois, 62522, with a reception following the fellowship hall at the church. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the First United Methodist Church, Shriners Children's Hospital, or the Kwananini Club of Decatur. Joyce Miller. Joyce Miller, 81, of Decatur, passed away on Monday, September 12, 2016, at St. Mary's Hospital. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, September 15, 2016, in Iliopolis, at the Iliopolis United Methodist Church. Memorial services will be at 10 a.m. on Friday, September 16, at the church, with Reverend C.W. Butch Reinecker officiating. Private burial will follow. Memorials may be made to Animal Protective League or St. Jude Children's Hospital. Nancy L. Real, Windsor. Nancy L. Doring Real, 79, of Windsor, passed away Tuesday, September 13, 2016, at her home in Windsor. Cremation rites will be accorded, and a graveside service will be held at 2 p.m. Sunday, September 18, 2016, at Windsor Cemetery. Lovins Lockhart Funeral Home in Windsor is assisting. Cleo Smith, 94, of Vandalia, Illinois, passed away Friday, September 9, 2016, at Vandalia, Illinois. Services will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, September 17, 2016, at Miller Funeral Home, Vandalia, Illinois, with Brother Martin Hazley and Pastor Pete LeDuc officiating. Burial will follow at McInturf Cemetery, rural Vandalia, Illinois, with military rites. Visitation will be held from 6 to 8 p.m. Friday, September 16, 2016, at Miller Funeral Home, Vandalia, Illinois. Memorials, McInturf Cemetery, rural Vandalia, Illinois, Miller Funeral Home, Vandalia, Illinois, is in charge of arrangements. Online memorials and condolences may be shared with the family at www.millerfh.net. Nellie Joan Wimple. Nellie Joan Wimple, 77, of Palestine, Texas, formerly of Shelbyville, Illinois, died September 11, 2016, at Cantrell Home for the Aged in Palestine, Texas. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. Saturday, September 17, 2016, in Howe and Yoki Funeral Home, 415 North Broadway, Shelbyville, Illinois, 62565, with Reverend Greg Breeden officiating. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday in the funeral home. Casual attire is requested. Burial will be in Bethany Cemetery, east of Assumption, Illinois. The family request, instead of flowers, donations can be made to the American Heart Association or the Alzheimer's Foundation of America. Noel Walker Yantis, 93, of Shelbyville, Illinois, died at 3:38 a.m. Tuesday, September 13, 2016, in Shelbyville Memorial Hospital. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, September 16, 2016, in Howe and Yoki Funeral Home, Shelbyville, with Reverend Robert Bob Doherty officiating. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday in the funeral home. Burial will be in Glenwood Cemetery, Shelbyville, Illinois. Memorials may be given to Tree of Life Christian Center, Sullivan, Illinois, or Saving Orphaned Animals. In national obituaries, from Lake Elsinore, California, Hall of Fame boxer Bobby Chacon died Wednesday under hospice care for dementia. He was 64 years old. In other nationwide obituaries, TV's Wyatt Earp Hugh O'Brien dies at age 91. Hugh O'Brien, who shot to fame as Sheriff Wyatt Earp in what was hailed as television's first adult Western, has died. He was 91. And finally, in national headline obituaries, Jen Mayer presented a photo and file on a picture of Juette Limbach, president of the Institute of Goethe Institute and a winner of the Goethe Medal Awards, and she was Germany's highest court, says that the former justice, Juette Limbach, who later headed the commission that examines disputes over claims for the restitution of art looted under the Nazis, has died. She was 82 years of age. She was the first woman to head the Constitutional Court. This has been Nancy Pippin with the Decatur Herald and Review. I look forward to reading to you with you again soon. Thank you. Have a wonderful rest of the day. Bye.